Yeah. So we were discussing, we'll try to finish off if we can, this part of it. We were trying to introduce the Masechta, and we were discussing whether or not there is an Iser Lahazik or not. On the one hand, we were noting that Nezek is a very pragmatic area of law, and therefore there's good reason to think that it's all about dollars and cents. If I damage your property, I have to pay you, but if I'm going to pay you, if I refuse to pay you, that becomes Gezel or Oshek. But if I, you know, if I walk around with a, you know, a checkbook, you know, and I'm willing to pay whatever I'm Mazik, you know, is that Osur or not? Again, it's probably not very nice to be a serial Mazik, but is there any Isur in the Torah or not? That's the question we were discussing. And again, the issue being twofold. Number one, logically, as I said, it's an elemental and very basic, in other words, aspect of law, and therefore maybe it doesn't require and maybe doesn't allow for, you know, an Isur in that respect. The fact that the Torah, this we talked about extensively last week, is at least not explicit, mostly silent, you know, depending on how you understand Velo Yishmer and Abalav. There's also a Gemara later on in Menhayom Beis that seems to say that it is an Iser. But, you know, the simple pshat of Velo Yishmer and Abalav is that it's a description of conditions. So since the Torah mostly seems to be silent on the matter, and especially that that constitutes a very, very sharp, dramatic even, contrast to other, you know, colleagues, let's say, of Nezek, Rotseach, Geneva, Gezela, Chavala. So that silence combined with the logic of it, and the silence is in the Psukim, and the silence is in the Rambam, and the silence is in, you know, the Koteret, the Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam. The Mabit says explicitly that, you know, if you're going to pay for damage that you do, that, you know, the only Isser would be an Isser Drabanan. So given all of that, there's good reason to think that there is no Isser, and that, you know, certainly differentiates the world of Nezikin from the world of those other, categories that aren't safer Nezikin in the Rambam, namely Rotseach, Chovel, Gonev, Gozel, etc. So that's one perspective. On the other side of it, in the middle of it, we'll say that we have a kind of a moral, you know, for what it's worth, we have a moral intuition that you know, that damaging somebody's property, you know, again, intentionally, certainly, or you know, a serial, you know, careless, negligent, you know, person who's constantly damaging property doesn't bother, in other words, to safeguard other people's properties from himself, we have, a moral intuition that there's something wrong with that and that that should violate Isurin. Now, again, we could be wrong about our moral intuition and it could only be an Isur Drabanan. Or, you know, very likely, that moral intuition comes from or clues into what I was calling Isurim Klalian. So this is kind of a middle view, and that is that maybe there's no explicit Isur Lahazik, right? In the same way that there's an explicit Isur to kill, to steal, to rob, right? To, you know, to refuse to pay, you know, what you owe to Schar Sachir or other things. There's no explicit Isur. However, you do violate Isurin because you violate all sorts, you trample on other dinim of the Torah. For example, and here there's a whole list, some people said some people said one, some people said the other, right? Drachel Darche Noam, Chuvas Arash, right? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, a line in the Ramah, and a line in the Chinuch, right? Lo sistos achicha bilvavecha, the Ritva Miksav Yad and Gittin has that suggestions, Hashavas Aveda, a suggestion in the Rashash, Lifnei v'lishitein Mikshal, and so on, Losamar Dam Riacha, meaning there's a whole slew of Isurim that are not focused primarily on Nezek, but when you're Mazik, and certainly Baratzon, or, you know, in a continuous, constant way, that surely you will violate or you will trigger those Isurim. And that definitely satisfies our moral intuition that what this person is doing isn't just, you know, not so nice, but that the Torah considers it to be, you know, a prohibition of some sort, forbidden action. It can be forbidden even if it doesn't have a specific Isur. And as I say, there's a whole group of Rishonim that understand it this way. However, that doesn't, you know, provide a full counterweight for what we began with, for the position that says, you know, that there's no Isur whatsoever, because at least we're still saying that on a Tashlumin level, meaning when you pay for Nezek, you're the payment you make has nothing to do, presumably, with V'yahavta l'rayacha kamocha. You don't, there's no Tashlumin for that, or Lo Sisus Achicha B'Lavecha, or Neivel L'Sitei Michshal, or Drachel Darchei Noam, or Ashavas Aved, or whatever it is. Right? You don't pay for that. There's no din in the Torah that those trigger Tashlumin. So what we're really trying to figure out is the Tashlumin of Nezek kind of a Onesh of some sort? Or part of the Onesh? Part of the Iser? Or is that completely distinct from it? And here too we have some evidence, and that's what that's where we left off. There are at least three primary sugyas which seem to point in the direction that not only that describes rather tashlume nezikin flowing from or stemming from a maisa avera. And those three sugyas are the sugya of ein onshin min adin, the sugya of kom lebed rabba minei, which is based on the principle of mishum risha achas atamachaybo iya atamachaybo mishum shtei rishios, and the third sugya, the one I think that we were up to, and that is the din of ein shliach ledvar avera. Right? Ein onshin, the word onesh implies iser, min adin, is something which is used in connection with bor. The Mechilta speaks about ki yichra ishbor, ki yiftach ishbor. The Mechilta says, if ki yiftach ishbor is chayiv, that is, if you have a bor and somebody covered it up, right, and then you uncover it, so the pasuk says that you're chayiv. So why is it necessary to also tell us that if you dig a bor, you create a bor, that you're chayiv, right? It's a kal v'chomer. So the Mechilta says, ein onshin min adin. Right? So, as we discussed last week, that's a very major debate. Number one, the Balei Tosas debate whether Ein Onshin Min Adin applies in Dinei Mamonos or not, whether that Mechilta is Kehilchasa or Shelo Kehilchasa. After all, the way the Balei Tosas bring it in and Beis Amin Aleph is that the Mishnah, which we already read, right, implies, and the Gemara certainly continues with this implication, that Kavachomers in theory would work in Dinei Nezikin, if they were, you know, effective. In other words, lo hareha bor, kareha shor, lo hareha esh, you know, kareha adam. It sounds like the Mishnah already, and by extension the Gemara, is trying to make kavachomers, are just not necessarily succeeding because of all the pirchas. I mean, that's a technicality. What happened to Ein Onshin Min Adin? So Tosas on Beis Amin Aleph in Bava Kamma says, you know, it's actually machlokas whether Ein Onshin Min Adin applies to Nezikin or not. But it's still hard to know, is the machlokas a machlokas within Ein Onshin Min Adin, or machlokas whether to assess Tashlume Nezek as something which just flows from an Aveira, or is just a, you know, quid pro quo, you know, it's just a pure monetary obligation. The Rajba in Bava Kamma, in Abbeis, Somed Beis, has a line in which he says, the Mechilta is true, but the Mechilta is true only for Bor. Because Bor is the most Mechudash of the Niske Mamons. After all, you don't own it, right? You're not the one who is, you know, taking the initiative. The Bor sits where it is. The other fellow, you know, walks into the Bor, so he bears some partial, you know, responsibility for what happens to him. So Bor is the biggest chiddush of all, and therefore Ein Onshin Min Adin, but nothing else. So the question is, what do we mean by that? Meaning, are we saying that the only Onesh is Bor because Bor isn't really a chiyuv tashlumin? It really should be Potur, and it's just that we're being manish you? Is that what we're saying? Or are we saying we just wouldn't have known it, you know, otherwise? But we're not necessarily arguing that Tashlume Bar is different than Tashlume Shor or Tashlume Eish or Tashlume Adam. They're all in the same category, just that one is easier to make Kavachomers for than the other, because one is based on an inner logic, the other is based on a very conventional, you know, basic, you know, human logic. So that is the discussion of the Rashi. But Mari Katz, I think I mentioned towards the end last time, says something fascinating. You know, he says, I don't understand. He says, in the end of the day, there's an onesh, component of Nezikin, but isn't there also a mamonis component of Nezikin? So he says in Ochanami, the Mechilta is referring, you know, very specifically to the onesh part, not to the mamon part. And he invokes to prove that there's an onesh part in Nezikin, the din of Kufra Kapara, which is strange and very mechudash. Kufra Kapara results from a situation where my animal, right, kills another person. And the animal is a muad. So the destructive act of this animal, right, is laid at my doorstep, meaning not only do I have to pay for what happened, but it's a muad, so it's more, you know, of my responsibility. So the din is that, the shor, the destructive animal goes on trial in a bezin of Chav Gimel, that's the din of shor niskal. And in addition to that, if it's established that this indeed is a muad case, so the Torah seems to say that the Baal dies. Gam ba'alav yumas. And the Chachamim, jump in and they say, it doesn't mean that. It means he should die, and he has to pay Dmei Kofar. So imagine that. Mari Katz cites Dmei Kofar to prove that there's an Iser component in every Mazik. And I think his thinking is actually very, not Mukhrach, that's why it's Mechudash, but very interesting and very, compelling is a little too strong, but certainly very intriguing. What he's saying is, if somebody damages someone else, probably, I'm guessing, this is what he's saying, the problem is that you didn't rein in your property, you didn't rein in your shore. Now, at the end of the day, the result could have been nezek, or the result could have been misa. Right? The fact that you were negligent, or at least you didn't, you know, fulfill your obligation as an owner, right, is what makes you obligated, right? So in the end of the day, right, if we only say kufra kapara when there's a death, but your irresponsible, you know, stewardship of this destructive animal, right, is not only limited to the case where there's a death. That just happens to be the outcome. So if we say kufra kapara in a death case, doesn't that imply that there's also an Iser, right, in every case? I believe that's Mari Katz's idea. So he's quoting the extreme of Kufra Kapara to prove that in all cases of Nezek, there's an Iser involved. And his argument is, there's an Iser part and a Mamon part. And the din of Ein Onshin Min Adin applies to the Iser part. But the Mamon part, in Ochanami, is separate. That's an interesting stance on the whole issue. One could have said that Kufra Kapara has nothing to do with Iser, but it does have to do with, you know, in the end of the day, being Mitzuraf, being connected to a horrible outcome of death, and that, you know, even though we call it Kufra Kapara, what we mean is it's kind of blood money, you know, and you should be paying it because of what your animal did, even though maybe you... Right, did not violate any Iser, but you are Mitzuraf to the outcome. So that's something we'll leave till we discuss Kufra Kapara more extensively. Either way, that's one example, one issue. The second issue is Kamlei Midraba Minei. Kamlei Midraba Minei is Mishum Risha Achas HaTamachaybo, V'ir HaTamachaybo Mishum Shtei Rishios. The Mishnah in Bava Kamma, we saw it last time, and Lamed Daled Omid Beis says that if a person burns down his neighbor's field on Shabbos, right? He's potter mitashlumin because he's chayiv in Hilchos Shabbos. Kam le bidrava minei. So that means mishum risha achas atomachayvo, v'yatomachayvo, mishum shtei rishios. So since when do we call quid pro quo money a risha? Right? So that's the second. Now again, that's a case of Adam Amazik, so maybe it's limited to Adam Amazik. But either way, it's an intriguing, example where Chazal use the expression, using a onesh or a beira kind of an expression, you know, with regard to nezek. Unless we think that kam le bidraba minei and mishum risha achas is only a hechetimtzi, it's only a melitza, it's only an example. The real idea is that whenever there's a bigger crime, it eclipses the monetary component. Not necessarily monetary component that is a risha, but that, you know, in the context of some heinous spiritual crime, right, the dollars and cents, you know, kind of, you know, fade into insignificance, or it becomes like even trivial or obscene, you know, to be chasing the dollars and cents when such a, you know, much greater, you know, calamity, you know, has struck. If we say that, then the word risha is lavdafka, and we've neutralized, you know, a potential makar for proving that the tashlumin of nezek is itself a function of the iser. The third case, which I want to look at now, because that's what we're up to, is the din of ein shliach l'dvar avera. And again, the same kind of problem. These are all parallel issues, right? Ein shliach l'dvar avera, as we know, means that typically shlucho shonim is kimoso, and shaleach can authorize someone to delegate someone, right, to do an action on his behalf. It's called shlichus, and it's effective. I don't have to show up at my own wedding. I can, you know, appoint a stand-in, right? She can appoint a stand-in too, by the way. You know, it's an equal opportunity, equal gender opportunity thing. Ish mekadesh bo b'shlucha, isha miskadeshes right bo u b'shlucha.
I can just visualize the shliach and the cousin, the shliach and the kala coming in to the wedding hall, you know, for the simcha.
Right.
They're all going to have hoops around them.
Right, right, right. This is the cousin kala staying home. They're saving their, you know. The whole thing is a very arduous kind of a thing. Right? So we have to greet all the people, you know, all those pictures. You know, so they send in stand-ins for the pictures. Anyways, it's, Shluchas Shalom is kimoso. However, when it comes to a Dvar Avera, right, if the Mishaleach sends a Shliach to do a Dvar Avera, so the Shliach bears full responsibility. The action does not accrue, right, to the Mishaleach, right? It's not his, you know, responsibility or obligation. He doesn't, the fallout is, it belongs to the Shliach. All things being equal, right? That's the din of Ein Shliach Advar Veira. Divrei Arab, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mi Shomim. Right, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, this goes all the way back, you know, to the Nachash HaKadmoni. Right, he induced, right, or enticed, you know, Chava to break the rules, right? And then she, you know, complained and tried to put the blame on him, you know, and supposedly his clever retort, which is, you know, accepted l'halacha, is like, you know, divrei rav, divrei talmid, divrei mishomim, like, you know, who told, why would she listen to me when she could listen to you? So, with a capital Y, right? So that's the din of ein shliach l'dvar avera. Now again, the language certainly is about an avera. That's why we say divrei rav, divrei talmid, divrei mishomim, right? And, you know, the first case is a case of an avera. Okay. So the Gemara has this, if you look in your sheets here, we have two cases of this. One is in Kiddushin. Look on the bottom of the first page, number 28. And the other one is in Bava Kamma. So the one that's in Kiddushin is the following line. Hoditana shaleach es habi'ira biyad kereshot v'katan. A person lets, you know, loose a conflagration, an eish, right, in the hands of a cheresh shota b'katan, meaning somebody who is incompetent and irresponsible. So the din is potter b'dinei adam v'chai b'dinei shamay. Right, you potter b'dinei adam because you didn't do it; they did it, right? And there's no shlichos or anything else. V'chai b'dinei shamay. So, but shilech biyad pikeach. Just 1 second, biyad pikeach. If you send a comp, what?
Why
there's no shlichus anyway.
Why isn't he high? Because he's a coat. The monkey, if you give it.
Well, he's not a monkey. I mean,
monkey. If you give the beiwa.
Well, I mean, you're high b'dinei shemayim because you triggered, this person. Because you still don't, that person is not competent, but you also don't control that person. Yes, it's a kind of a grama. Meaning it's that person is an independent, operator. It's an independent soul.
They have intelligence.
Yes, they have some intelligence. You don't. It's not a zombie. It's not a robot, right? So.
You're sure doing damage.
No, that's the difference between a shore and an adam. Even if somebody's incompetent, he still has. Bechira, and he still has, a sense of a cry. That's what the Mishnah says later on in the Chovel, that, the damage that, Katan and Cheresh and Shota, Pegiyasan Ra, we say, meaning they don't have to pay when they damage or when they assault people because they're too young, right? But if somebody assaults them, they pay because they're not ashore, they're a person, right? A little child, a child under the age of Bar Mitzvah, is not a zombie. Right? He has a mind of his own. Right? No? What's the age of your grandchildren?
Two-year-old.
What? No, I'm not talking about a two-year-old doesn't spread a fire usually. Well, actually, two-year-olds have a little bit of a mind of their own, too. So, let's say you have a competent adult. Right? So, the Gemara says, pikeach chayiv. The Bikeach Ubichaif says the Gemara Amai, Neima Shlucha Shodim Kemoso, he sent me to burn down, the other fellow's barn. I'm just doing my job. Right? The Mishaleach Shubichaif, because Shulchatam Kemoso. Says the Gemara, Shiny Hassam, the Ain Shliach Lidvar Vera, Darmina Divre Rab, Divre Talmud, Divre Mi Shomim. This is a classic. Is this an Avera? To burn down somebody's barn is an Avera? That's what we've been discussing, right? Is, you have to pay for it, Zechiv Tashlumin, that is for sure true. But is it an Aveira? That's what we're trying to figure out. It sounds like this Gemara says that, that Eish, right, is, now again, what is Eish? That's an interesting question. That's Adamamazik, or that's, Nizke Mamon, Eisho Mishum, Chitzav Eisho Mishum, Mamona, we'll discuss that later in the year. But the point is that at least with regard to Eish, the Gemara uses the expression Ein Shliach Lidvar Aveira. Similarly, next to Makar, the Gemara of the Mishnah says, Bor Shel Shnei Shutfin. Right? If you have a boar, and it is owned by, or, belongs to two partners, Avro Lav Arishon V'lo Chiso, let's say the first guy walks by, and he could have covered it up, but he didn't. Vasheni v'lo kiso, and then the second fellow walks by, and he too leaves it unattended, this boar. So the Mishnah says, Hasheni chayev. Why is Hasheni chayev? If they both did the same thing. And it's because he's the last recourse, right? And therefore, his ignoring his... the first guy walks away because the second guy, is coming. And the second guy, when he walks away, so he determines that the mazik is primed, if you will, to do damage. That's what the Mishnah says. Hasheni is chayav. So the Gemara and Bava Kama from Anala says, Omri, Borshel Shnei Shudfin, Hecha Mishkach Asla. The Gemara says, what do you mean a boar you know, that is owned, that belongs to part, or there's, you know, a partnership in a bor. How do you get a partnership in a bor? Henicha yisfir like Rabbi Akiva. The Amar bor birshuso chayev mishkachas abechatzah shel shneim a bor shel shneim. Right, the ifkiro rishusan velo ifkiru bora. Okay, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that a bor conceivably can have monetary ownership. Again, what's a typical bor? The bor of Parshas Mishpatim, the classic bor, the Platonic bor, is a bor b'shus harabim. Bor b'shus harabim is owned by no one, right? So how does anybody ever be responsible for it? Somebody dug in b'shus harabim, right? So that's one of the reasons that the Rajbo is pointing out, right, that bor. So mechudash is that typically these niske mamon are cases where there's an owner. There's no owner in bor, by in the classic case of bor by definition. Anyways, so the question is, by also without an owner, there's a din of bor? Or dafka bor can never be owned by anyone? Maybe the second that the bor is owned by somebody, you know, they got dafka, the guy is potter, but it's his bor. Right? Or something like that. So Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that you could have ownership in a bor. What would be the scenario? Not a bor b'shus harabim, right? But a bor b'chatzah shel shneim. A bor shel shneim b'chatzah shel shneim. And then they decided, you know, to be generous, they wanted to give them, you know, the city a park land. Or whatever. So they're mafkir their chatzer, but they decided to keep ownership, you know, Cunningham Park. Is that the local park?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's actually a park, right?
Yeah.
I come from Kew Gardens, so we have Forest Park. Yeah. Okay.
What's a bore anyway? Airbags?
What's a bore?
Yeah, it's an absence.
What do you mean, what's a bore?
It's an absence. Empty.
Oh, okay, we'll talk about it. Mishum chavato, mishum havalo. Well, we'll talk about it. So, and by the way, not all bores are a classic bore is empty, but... You know, Vono Sakinu Maso, Shenicho, you know, Brishus Arabim is also a bor. I mean, it's a takala, basically. But sometimes there's Chavato, and sometimes there's Havalo, and sometimes there's one or the other, or both. Anyways, the point is, you had a bor, right? So somebody gave Cunningham Park, used to belong, I don't know if this is true, you know, to Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham.
Probably to the Indians.
Because the Indians named Cunningham. And, you know, they decided to give it to the good people of New York City. Okay, so they were mafkir, the makom, but they decided to retain ownership of the bor, for whatever reason. So that's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that still triggers the chi of bor. Maybe even kol shekein. Okay? So then you can have a situation of bor shel shnei shutfin, you know, very easily. However, says the Gemara, el isvirlon, bor b'shuso potor, but if you think that bilus on a bor, it's a strange thing. It's an interesting thing, as we say about bor, as we mentioned last time. Right, shnei dvarim enim b'shuso shel adam asan hakasav kinu b'shuso. There are two things that are, you know, where there's no title ownership, formal ownership, but you know the Torah treats it as if there's ownership. Bor b'shuso rabim, right of chametz pesach. So this, it sounds like the factor of bilus should be a factor that only makes bor more your responsibility, and therefore, you know, it's a reason to be mechayev, right? But there's a discussion in the Gemara, which we'll get to at some point. If you hold bor b'shuso is potor, so then heichin b'shkachas lad mechayev alei. How would you ever have bor shel shnei shutfin? Right? Says the Gemara. One second, where am I? Heichem ishkacha slad d'chayev alei. So the Gemara says, Brishus harabim. Okay. So Brishus harabim, bor shel shnei shutfin heichem ishkacha slad. We're back to square one. If it's actual Brishus harabim, how do you get two people to be partners in it?
Why can't two people dig a bor together in the Brishus harabim?
Two people?
Dig a bor. Oh.
So then the Gemara says, Ida shavu shliach, right, travayu, for Amri lay zil karilan, va'azel karilahu. So why don't we have a case where the two of them, there are two people, they, you know, appointed a third person, let's say, to dig the bore, right? But Amrulay, they said to this fellow, Zilkri Lun, right? Dig for us the bore, but also Karas Lahu. So the Gemara says, that can't be, because Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. This Shliach is not, right? It, the bore isn't Mitzuraf to the Shnei Shudfim. It's not like the two Shudfim dug the bore, because Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So this is another Gemara, which says, which applies. The first one was Eish, this one is Bor, where the Gemara applies the rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Rashi explains here, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira L'Yischayev Sholcho, right? Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira means that the Meshaleach is Potter, is exempt. El Shliach Mechayev, Usvarad Arminim Le'Divarav, Divarat Talmud, Divarat Mishom. Enough Nun Gimel Amin Aleph, I should have brought. The Gemara, Rashi discusses another case there, of a case of called Kilkul B'Rishus HaRabim. Rashi says, Nafal Lefanav Mikol HaKriya Chayiv. The Gemara says, if a person, you know, falls into a bore because of the, like, traumatized from the noise of digging the bore, right? So, Chayiv. So the Gemara says, Amai, Nema, you know, Kore Garamle, the Kore Patur, the Grama Bialmahu. Should be chayiv mishum bor, should be chayiv mishum, like the noise or the response to the noise, and that is a grumma, and you should be patur. I feel like kore balabor, ikalim ifter mei time, akivin de mishum grumma, nafal estalek chiyuv de bor mine. Even if it's the same person, you know, but the grumma part kind of negates the bor part. But rami apshiusa de kolakore. Bahu grama biyama the patur, right? And everything, you know, focuses on the, you know, the noise, you know, which instigated the problem, and the bor part is kind of left behind. So then Rashi says, ukashein hakore balabor askinan. We're talking about a case where that's one lasha, or ukashein hakore balabor askinan elishahu skiro, right? The person who is kore is the, you know, the worker of the balabor. Who could go and choose a bor kriya v'yomedes, kodim lachain, de'ihai karya, if this fellow dug it himself, have a kore chayiv, he would be chayiv, de'ein shliach advar veira, de'asr lekalkel rishus haram. So here Rashi says that digging a bor rishus haramim is chayiv, I'm sorry, is considered Eishlech Advar Veira, and he's Chayiv because it's called Kilkul Rishus HaRabim. Okay, the Mishnah Lamelech, and Chasr Tzeach, I just put the reference there, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, has a very long piece in which he discusses, very famous piece, in which he discusses the following question. Is the din of Eishlech Advar Veira, Divar Rav, Divar Talmud, Divar Mishomin, does that apply only for Averos Doraisa, or even for Averos Darabana? Right? Interesting question. So he wants to bring a proof from this Rashi, because he says, oh, Rashi says building a bor, Rishus HaRabim, is Kilkul Rishus HaRabim. And the Mishnah Melech assumes that Kilkul Rishus HaRabim is only in Yisod Rabbanan. The Minchas Chinuch, and the Rabbi Yehuda, and others, just challenge that assumption. Rashi's description of Kriyas HaBor is Kilkul Rishus HaRabim, you know, doesn't mean that it's Rabbanon. Maybe that's why, you know, again, I think the idea is as follows. Again, it goes back to something we've talked about for the Rajba, and we'll talk more about, and that is the Mishnah Melech was basically thinking that the reason that you're chayiv when you dig a bor and somebody falls in other words, is because of the nezek. Right? Not because of the digging of the bore. Therefore, the digging of the bore per se is just like the background. Right? It's mitzaref you to the nezek, even though it's b'shev al tasa, and even though the other guy, you know, could have prevented it, and he's kind of a contributory, you know, partner to all this, and even though there's no bailos, and so on. In the end of the day, the Kriya Sabor, you know, is just the background, you know, for the Nezek of the Bor. So if you talk about the Kriya Sabor itself also being, you know, something that is Asur, that can only be a Dindrabanan. That's a Kilkul Rishus Haraman. You know, like, and that's a Dindrabanan. I think the Minchas Chinuch and the Rabbi Yehuda and the others think that Kilkul Rishus Haraman and Yitzira Sabor are probably connected. And the Rav used to say this a lot, not this part that I just said till now, at least not that I know of, but the other part, and that is that what's Mechayiv and Bor, right, is not the Nezek that takes place that you're connected to because you happen to dig it, but you're really Chayiv and Bor, according to some Rishonim, Al Iske Kriya for the building of the Bor, for Yetzira Samazik. It's just that if you are involved in Yetzira Samazik, right, that per se is not Mechayiv Yutashlumin. Right, until there's a Nezek, you can't be Chayiv Nezek for Yetzira Samazik. But once there is a Nezek, then Yetzira Samazik is why you're Chayiv. So Kilkul B'shus HaRabim, you know, can be then something which is Asur Doraisa in its own right. Okay. Anyways, what emerges from this analysis is both in the Sugya in Kiddushin and in the Sugya in Bava Kamma, both with regard to Eish and with regard to Bor, the expression that is used, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avo. The truth is, we have a third case of it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'll take the questions first.
A deal in the Gemara before, when they talk about Chiyuv Deshamayim for a Kereshot of a Katan, the absence of that washing, might it not suggest that there is no Avera, because there is no Chiyuv Deshamayim if you... more directly, if you're Kikeya.
I'm not following. Say it one more time.
The absence of the Lashon.
Of Chiyuv Deshamayim and Bikeyach? No, yeah. Bikeyach.
Might it not suggest that there's no Iser there?
No, because, no, not necessarily, because, I hear what you're asking, but not necessarily, because... the Chiyuv Latzei Sedei Shamayim is also connected to the Ptur Bidei Adam. In the Pikeach case, is a Chiyuv Bidei Adam.
Once there is a, if there is no,
if you're focusing on
Bidei Adam, then there is scope for a
maybe, maybe not. I'm saying, but there's no diuk. In other words, if we're interested in the law, right? Then the first and foremost, what we're interested in is whether or not this. You know, this occurrence is something that's actionable in court. So in that respect, Pikeach is Chayiv B'dinei Adam, and the other is only Chayiv B'dei Shamayim. If we were kind of giving a fuller, I hear what you're saying, if we were giving like a fuller description, it would be interesting to note, are you Chayiv B'dinei Shamayim and B'dinei Adam? That's what you're asking. Yeah, but I don't think it's a deal for that reason.
Okay, second question.
Yeah.
We're talking about a Shliach, but in the past we've learned of Super Shliachim.
Yeah.
Would that, and then would the Sukhshliya,
like a Harshav, like last year,
like that, would that violate the Ishmael Hazarbeir?
That's a good question. I'm guessing that.
Or Shliach is a broad category.
I think it's a broad category, and I'm going to suggest in a second that it may be even a broader category. So I hear that. It's a very good question. I'll get to it in a second. But yeah.
Well, wouldn't at least in the case of Bor, it seems at least what Rashi was explaining it, that the Isser is Kilkul Rishus Harabim, then the Ancient Yathabar Vera, that's the Isser that you're over, and not necessarily the creation of the Nezek.
Say that again?
So if the Isser is the Kilkul Rishus Harabim.
I mean, when I was discussing the Mishul Balach and the Minchas Chinuch and so on and so forth, I'm suggesting that a way for Rashi to be Doraisa is to assume that this is connected to the Nezek of Bor. I think what you're suggesting is maybe there's something called Kilkul Rishus HaRabim, which is still even separate from the Tashlumi Bor. Possibly.
And then,
possibly.
If that's the case, then it's not. And then that's the Isser that, and that separates the Shliach from the Shaleach.
Right.
And then,
that could be.
And because of
it
that,
could be. But on that, I think the question is where do we find such a thing? Whereas, according to what I'm saying, that's Bor.
Shouldn't
Kilkul
Rishus HaRabim, if that is an Avera, shouldn't that be enforceable by the community to. the Makal failed to undo it?
Could be. I mean, we don't know. I mean, again,
we don't see that, I'm just wondering how.
Right. Good question. I'm not sure. Let me think about that. Okay.
You can't have a boar in Rosh Hashanah.
What's that?
You can't have a nezik of boar in Rosh Hashanah. Why is it so essential?
No, because we were saying before that you.
Why do they have to be?
I see what you're asking. Yeah, of course. I mean, if somebody walks into my rishus, and I'm allowed to have a boar in my own rishus, right?
But
I mean, it's my property. Can't I have boars there?
Our discussion about the Havi Chasida,
No, that's the key you made. That's why it's Chasidus.
Yeah.
Right, but you're not going to be chayev. Mikra Dedina, there's no.
There's
what?
No.
Why
should you be there in his property?
Yeah, I mean, no one can walk into your property, and if he walks into your property, he should be respectful of the environment that you created.
How about having a bear trap on your property?
Right.
Anybody comes in.
Right. Okay. So one more, just to the Mishnah in Achovel, Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, which we have here somewhere. We also have it in the Gemara, which we're going to get to this Mishnah anyway in just a minute. It's so important. Thank you. Oh, well, think of everything, right? It's that kind of year again. Okay. Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. What is it? Page 4. Okay. Right, there are 10 pages here. So, whatever you quote anywhere, it's probably in here. Any Zachta? Come on, it's got to be here. So the Mishnah says here. It's 8 and 9. It's on Tzadi Beis in the Mishnah. Avabishu no sein lo. Yeah. Avabishu, we'll rather read the whole Mishnah because we're going to get to it in a minute. Avabishu no sein lo. Ein nimcha lo ad shi vakesh mimena. So if you assault somebody, chova b'chaveiro, and you're chai b'chamisha dvarin, right? The main one, of course, being Nezek, but the others as well. So the Mishnah says, even if you give it to him, you give him what you owe him, right? Mechila, right, requires ad shivakesh menu pius. That's the famous din in Hilchos Tshuva, which we'll get to. Shenemar, ata hashev eshasay, that's a parshas haShavua, right? Uminayin shimla machalo shehu aksari. And how do you know that he's supposed to not stand on ceremony and be hard to appease, but that he should welcome the opportunity to put this behind them. Shenemar vayis palel Avram v'alokim v'yirape alokim esavi melech. Okay. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Then the Mishnah continues. The whole Mishnah is fascinating. Ha'omer samei es emi katea es yadi shaber es ragli. The guy says to his neighbor, friend, whatever it is, beat me up. Right, blind me, cripple me, and so on. So the Mishnah says, Chayiv. This is the famous din. Amanas liftor, even if he adds on condition that you will be legally, right, exempt from any obligation, right, he's still Chayiv. Why? This is the famous Gemara. Eina de mochel al rashay evaru. Which the Rambam interprets seemingly, I have to add, and disappointingly, if the seemingly is true, in a very pragmatic way. We'll get to that Rambam. Namely, the Rambam says, no one, sounds like the Rambam saying, if somebody makes such a concession, it's not serious. It doesn't really mean it. The reason I said that's disappointing, if that's really what it means, is because we prefer to say, I think, a more conceptual idea, and that is, it's not, you're not a bilim over giving away your own health and your own you know, well-being either. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam is the bialim over your body, not you. Anyways, either way, the rule is Eino Demochal Rashi Bar. Fine. Shaberes Ragli Chayiv. If a guy just says, right, Shaberes Ragli Chayiv, Amnas Liftor Chayiv. Oh, I just read that. Kras Ksusi. What happens if you have the same situation, but now it's Adam Amazik, not Chovel anymore? Kras Ksusi. Guy says, rip up my, you know, shirt or whatever. Shaber Eskadi. Destroy my barrel. Okay, very reasonable distinction, correct? Then, what if he says, Asei chein l'ish ploni, almanas liftor. Go beat up the other fellow, or burn down, you know, his barn, you know, on condition that you'll be potter. Chayiv. Bein begufo, Bein b'mamono. So what is that based on? If you look at the Rambam, we'll get back to the details later on, but look at the Rambam here on page 2. Oh, I just wrote here. It says, Perkei Halacha Yud Gimel. Okay, where's the actual Rambam? Here it is. Page Hey, Perkei, Halacha, look at Halacha Yud Aleph just for a second, then you'll see what I meant before. On line 15, this is on page 7. Odesh hefresh bein nizkei gufo le nizkei mamono. She'omer l'chaber samei eini katea yadi amenat shata pator hareza chayiv b'chamisha dvarim. This is the din of Eino Demochal Brashei Varim. Even if he says to you, no charge, you know, injure me, you know, cripple me, chayiv b'chamisha dvarim. Shehadavar yadua she'ein adam rotza b'kach. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It just says, Eina de mochel al Rosh Eivar. The Rambam understood it to mean that, you know, it's never serious. No, does he mean it's never serious, meaning he doesn't mean it? Or does he mean he might mean it, but on a deeper level of his consciousness, he doesn't mean it? Right? Either way, it doesn't sound like the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Bialim over his body. Right. Okay. But either way, that's a better way to explain that Gemara. Anyway. Then look at Halacha Yud Gimel. Ha'omer l'chaber shaber kelev shel ploni, right? Destroy his object. Amana shata pater v'asa, and the guy went ahead and did it. In other words, the mishaleach orders the shliach to damage adam amazik, to damage something of the other fellow, and he goes ahead and does it. Harezachai v'shalim. He, meaning the person who did the action, not the Mishaleach, is Chayiv L'Shalim. Uki, first of all, it's a fascinating Rambam. I'm going to get back to in a minute, but I'll just point out what's fascinating about it. Uki ilo amar lo same eino shel ploni amenasha tapator. It's the equivalent, it's tantamount to saying, knock out that guy's eye and you'll be potter. Why do I think that's fascinating? Because the Mishnah doesn't have a hierarchy. What did the Mishnah say in Sadi Beis Oman Aleph? The last line in the Mishnah? Bein begufo, bein b'mamono. It equates them. But the way the Rambam writes it, it sounds like, right? Really, this is obvious in Kabbalah, right? And less so, but you should know, it also works in Mamo. The Alpha P, then he adds, which also doesn't appear anywhere, Apapisha Osa Huachayev, right? Even though the guy who does it pays, Hareza Haomerlo, Shutfo Baavon, Virashahu, Shari Hikshil Iver, the Chizek Yidei Ovre Aver. Well, so he calls him a Shutaf Baavon. What is this din? This is din of Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira. Okay. Anyways, does Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira, the application of this concept in at least three cases, right? Eish, Bor, and Adam Amazik. That would seem to work very well with the view that Tashlumei Nezek are an Onesh. Right, our Tashlumi Aveira. We say Ein Shliach LeDvar Aveira. We're calling Nezek here a Dvar Aveira. Ah. Except that there are two points to make. One is that the Tashlumin aspect here is not a question of whether you pay, but rather a question of who pays. Now, it's typically when we say Ein Onshin Min Adin, or we say Kamlei Bedrabin Nei Mishum Risha Achas Atamachayv Yatamachayv Mishum Shtei Rishios. Right there, we're dealing with a situation where, you know, you are potter from paying, and we're calling Tashlumin yes Tashlumin no Tashlumin. We're calling it Onesh. We're calling it Risha. Here, we're trying to figure out. Does the shliach pay or does the mishaleach pay? And we say, Ein shliach l'dvar. So we are still calling it a dvar aveira, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that the tashlumin is an onesh. That's A. B, even though this phrase is used, is it possible that, like some of the others, that the phrase is a melitza that mostly applies to aveiros, but has a bigger meaning that encompasses Nezek, even if it's not Midin Aveira, and certainly even if the Tashlumin is not Midin Aveira. Okay. What I mean by that is the following. They're obviously saying the name of Reb Chaim. This is Mipiashu, I don't know if it's written anywhere, in the Kisvei or Reb Chaim, not that I'm aware of, but could be. And that is that Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira is not any different than the reason that there's no shliach for many mitzvos. In other words, what Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira really means is that shlichus requires some sort of jurisdiction, some sort of authorization. In other words, you, in the case of shliach, this is one of the ways that a number of the Achronim prove it, is, you know, the Gemara says that Kol sheyeshno b'shlichos sheyeshno b'tnai. The Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Ayin Daled. Kol sheyeshno b'shlichos sheyeshno b'tnai. You can't impose a tnai in something that is not subject to shlichos. Again, it's a funny Gemara there in Ksubis. The Gemara says, oh, can you impose a tnai in Kiddushei Bia? Right? Kol sheyeshno b'shlichos sheyeshno b'tnai. The Gemara says, iskash havayos lahadad. Which is the Gemara's way of saying, we don't mean this as a technicality. We mean it as a principle. So if there's a technical reason why you can't have a shliach do something, that's not what we mean. So the Baal, anyway, Tosis and Ksubis, on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, and that Gemara says, I don't understand, what is this connection between shlichus and tanai? Kol sheyeshno b'shlichus, yeshno b'tanai. What does that have to do with anything? So Tosis says very nicely, Tosis says, the common denominator between shlichus and tanai is the capacity, the bilus, that is necessary for both. You can't impose a condition on a transaction unless you have a certain measure of authority and bilus. It's your jurisdiction. Right? If you're getting married, right, so then you can impose the husband or the wife who are deciding to marry each other and who have a say in the matter, right, they both have the same, they can impose conditions on the marriage, certain conditions. Right? By the same token, they can appoint shlichim to the ceremony, like we said before, because it's not a davar shebegufo, it's something that they have control over. It's their, you know, jurisdictional domain. So what the Gemara means is kol sheyeshno b'shlichus, sheyeshno b'tanai. If you're going to appoint the shliach to do a certain thing for you, that means it's a legal, formal act, not a physical act, and it's a legal, formal act that you have jurisdiction over, right? And for that very same reason, you probably could impose conditions on it. Kol she'eshu b'shlichus she'eshu b'tanai. So Rabbi Chaim thought, the din of in shlichu d'var aveira, you know, divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishomin, is not a technicality. It is just about this question. You can't appoint somebody to do an aveira for you because he hasn't... no one has the right to tell someone else to do it. The aveira doesn't belong to, it's not the right of the jurisdiction, you know, of the mishaleach. Right? He can't tell you to do an aveira. Divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishom. It's not a taina. The Adrama, actually, in Sanhedrin, you know, the Nachash HaKadmoni case, says, divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishom. Do you have to really, you have to say it? You have to use the excuse? Otherwise, the Mishalech is going to be chayev. The strain, or is it midin taninan? But even taninan, usually what we mean is that, like, you know, it's a taina. Just that it's an automatic taina, people towing on your behalf. But bepashtus, most people think, that's a debate. That divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishomin is a way of saying, not just, oh, you shouldn't have listened to him, and therefore it's your problem, you know, you're stuck with the outcome, bad judgment. That's not what we're saying. Sounds like we're saying something more fundamental, and that is, divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishomim, he doesn't have the right, what do you mean you did it at his behest? Who put him in charge? He doesn't have the right to tell you to do aveiros. The Rabbonu Shalom, you know, who's the borei olam, you know, he told you not to. So what does this guy have to do with anything? Where's his jurisdiction to appoint you a shliach? Especially if you think, this is a debate, clearly it's a debate that flows from this, 2 days in Tosis and a bunch of places, when you say, ein shlich l'dvar aveira, that means there's no shlichos, or it just means that there's tashlumen? And what if the shliach can't pay? Will the mishalech then pay? That's a whole shach, and, you know, really early, it's all spread, other things. Anyways, Reb Chaim is of the opinion that ein shlich l'dvar aveira isn't a din in the aveira. It's an application of the base requirement in shlichus of bailus. Ah. So for example, you can't have somebody do certain mitzvos on your behalf either, because you could do the mitzvah, but you're not bailim on the asiyas ha-mitzvah. You're not bailim on putting on tefillin for yourself either. You can do it. You're supposed to do it. You can't farm that out. It doesn't connect to you. What made it your domain? Why am I telling you all this? Aside from the fact that it's a nice thing to talk about. The answer is, if that's really true, so then ein shlich l'dvar aveira doesn't have to be implying that we're dealing with a real aveira. Right? The rule of ein shlich l'dvar aveira is another way of saying that there is no shlichos where there's no bailus. And that's true in Nezikin, in a very core and fundamental way, whether it's Siskei Mamon or Adam Amazik or Chavala, even absent any consideration of tashlumin as onesh for an aveira. That's what really happened in these cases, if this is true, in other words. In the case of Bor, in the case of Ape, the guy said, build a Bor b'rishus harabim for both of us. Or the Bikeach was told, burn down, you know, the neighbor's barn. Or in this case, right, this guy Reuven said to Shimon, you know, beat up Levi, Or destroy his mingbaz. So the Gemara says, ein shliach l'dvar aveira. Right? It's not an aveira, maybe. Maybe there's no iser. And certainly the tashlumin has nothing to do with the iser. Doesn't matter. It's a melitza. The melitza is, you can't tell A to burn down B's field. It's not your field, it's his field. What made this your jurisdiction? And you can't tell him to beat him up, and you can't tell him to destroy his mingvaz, and you can't tell him to build a boar in Rishus HaRabim, because you're not in control. He's not in control of Rishus HaRabim. It's not his to authorize. Ah. So that would be another perspective. On the other hand, we already encountered the Rambam here. The Rambam seems to take it. Rambam says something amazing here, and that is that the Mishaleach violates something, even though he doesn't have to pay. And that he's a shutuf ba'avon with the shliach, which means that the mazik is involved in an avon, not just in a chi of tashlumin. So obviously the Rambam felt at least this case, the Chovel case, he doesn't say the same thing by the Bor case and by the Eish case. Oh. So now what I'd like to do is take a step back and analyze the Rambam's view. I want to analyze the Rambam's view and the Rabbeinu Yonah's view. I'll tell you what they both are, and then I want to analyze each one of them, and then we'll finish with this Hakdama, hopefully. Yeah?
If you say that the whole idea of entry after by birth is that you have to have bailus to
authorize someone
why
to...
Why would there be a difference between sending a bikayach and a katan? Because either
The problem of bailus or no bailus is a problem once we're dealing with, you know, authorizable agents. So then the question is, he's an authorizable agent. Can you say that? Authorizable agent? Qualified shlichen, meaning you have a qualified shliach, right? And now the question is, but is this something where shlicha, is this an area where shlichus is going to help? And that's what we're talking about. It's a jurisdictional matter, it isn't, it's somebody else's jurisdiction, it's a physical action. But if you don't have a legal, you know, somebody who can represent you, to represent you legally such that his actions are legally considered to be yours, they accrue to you, you need somebody who has the legal status of a shliach. And for that you need a pikeach.
Before you get started on the...
Yeah, you can't say... Before you say ein shliach l'dvar
avera, because you can look at the opposite.
It's a no-brainer. Shlucho shalom kemosa doesn't apply if there's no shliach. And to be a shliach, you have to be a bar das. Atem gam atem, right? That's the pasuk in... they draw darshan from the parsha of Truma, right? That you need a bar das. Okay. Just that bar das isn't enough, there are other conditions too, including... A, that it not be a purely physical action, also for that reason, and also for other reasons, but because you can't, it's not jurisdictional if it's physical.
It doesn't get off the ground, unless you actually.
What?
It doesn't get off the ground, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Until you have a qualified, you know, somebody who's roy l'shlichos, correct. Okay. So let's think, so far what we've tried to do is try to show that, you know, there are different considerations in assessing whether or not there is Isur Lahazik or not. From a prati point of view, as I call it, from a klali point of view, and, you know, part of that is whether the tashlumin of Nezek are just pure money, or they themselves are connected to some, you know, real offense that you have, some offense that you've done, some avera that you've done. And we've discussed different evidence, possibly different views. I've also suggested to be mechalek, you know, between maybe Adam Amazik and Niske Mamon, because Niske Mamon is more grama-like, even if it isn't actual grama, or maybe between Eish and Bor and the others. I've also, last week, I think, made the point that, you know, there's an interesting, ironic, whatever you want to call it, you know, kind of inverse, possibly, or correlation, if not, relationship between Tashlumin and Iser. By which I mean, on the one end, the more we're dealing with a actionable, you know, kind of damage, Tashlumin in other words, the more intense, obviously, and therefore the more likely a candidate to be an Aveira. Right? In other words, if you're Chai B'Tashlumin, it's because you're really responsible. You did something, or you're at least accountable, and therefore it's more reasonable to think that you are in violation. On the other hand, that's the direct correlation, right? On the other hand, there's an inverse, you know, consideration, and that is when you're paying for something. It's kind of what the Mabit said very succinctly. You know, as long as you're going to pay, you know, so then it's just a matter of dollar. There's no iser because it's all about the money, right? But let's say you do something and you're potter. So on the one hand, it's not, probably it's less intense in most cases, varaya, that you're potter. So probably it's less of an offense. On the other hand, it's more of an offense because you've depleted this man's bank account, his net worth, and he has no way to recover that. So it's really asur, right? So that's an interesting question. So I think I mentioned last time that Rashi and Gittin and Gimel and Medves in Hezek Shen and Ikar, Lo Shma Hezek, we have it here somewhere. Is it somewhere? It's for sure somewhere. Page 3? Page 3. Yeah. Metameu medamea, that's Hezek Sheno Nikar, invisible Hezek. Right? You take something and you make it tame, so you can't, truma. You make it tame, you can't use it anymore. But no one can tell. Right? It's not discernible. Isur drabananu. Kivin delo shme Hezek, ein kan isur doraisa. That's Rashi. Rashi says, again, words Hezek Shen Nikar Shma, Lo Shma Hezek, have nothing to do with Isurin. Has only to do with Tashlumin. Just like Grama, Benizakin, or Garmi, Chayv, or Potter are about money. Right? Is it actionable in court? No one said anything about Isurin. Rashi here says, if it's only, right, Chayv, Tashlumin, Midrabanan, or it's not Chayv B'Tashlum Daraisa, then it's only Asur B'Drabana. And the Ritva, Miksavyad, which is from the Rama school, in Gittin, says, I don't understand that correlation at all. Again, it's a little bit misleading. He says it because, he says, after all, there are Isurim in, that you violate, even when there's no Tashlum in. For example, V'Hafta L'Riacha Kamocha, L'Sesosachicha B'Vavacha, L'Samad Adam Riacha. These klali type isurim really do not have anything to do with tashlumin, except maybe as a shiur in the intensity of what you have done. However, even if there was a more prati kind of isur lahazik, you know, I think the ksav the ritva miksav yad may still have a point, and that is they have this inverse connection, right? If the only thing that holds you back, you know, if there's no chiv tashlumin min haTorah. Is the Isur. And it really should be Asur, you would think, because in the end of the day, you've diminished his net worth. Right? You've attacked him in a way, financially, and he has no recourse. Right? It could be that Rashi doesn't disagree with that either. Maybe all Rashi's saying is that Hezek Shenu Nikar, which true, there's not a direct correlation. Hezek Shenu Nikar, Tashlum is not Minatorah, the Isur is not Minatorah. That's how the Ritva read it, the Ritva Miksavyad. Maybe what Rashi really had in mind was, we're trying to figure out whether Hezek Shen Nikar is considered a Chafza Shel Nezek. If it is, then you're going to be Chayim B'Tashlum. And if it is, then it's going to be subject to Isur. But if it's not, it's not because there's no Tashlumin. The fact that there's no Tashlumin is an indicator that there's no real chafta shel nezek. Moshe l'mad over dome, by the way. The Gemara uses Hezek Shen Nikar, Hezek Shen Nikar, Shmar, Lo Shma Hezek, as a simon, whether or not you can say, Hareisho Chalafanecha, you know, if you steal an object, let's say, a gazon steals something, and then it gets Hezek Shen Nikar, Metamei, Metameya. So are you allowed to say what we call Hareisho Chalafanecha? Right, you know, he says, okay, listen, I'm giving it back. Here it is. So the Gemara suggests that depends whether Hezek Shen Nikar Shma or Lo Shma Hezek. If Hezek Shen Nikar Shma Hezek, then you can't say Hareisho Chalafanecha, it's like a Shinui. A Shinui is Kona. If Hezek Shen Nikar Shma Hezek, right? I'm sorry, if Hezek Shen Shma Hezek, and it's like a Shinui. If Hezek Shen Nikar Lo Shma Hezek, then you can say Hareisho Chalafanecha. Now there, that has nothing to do with Tashlumin. There, the Tashlumin is a shiur in whether this is considered to be Chafza Shel Nezek or not. So it could be that that's what Rashi has in mind. Either way, the point is just that it seems like there are different views and there are different considerations and different places to draw the line in this question. Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion, and the tour seems to follow him, that Nezek is Asur in a more specific way because it's Gezel. I want to pursue that next week when we finish this. Before that, I wanted to start now, but we'll have to stop in a minute and then finish this next week. And that is, the Rambam, however, doesn't connect it to Gezel. But the Rambam does use the expression Asur when it comes to Nezek in two different places. Oh, let me take a step back. I already mentioned where he doesn't mention it. Now, he doesn't have it in Perek Aleph, he doesn't have it in Perek Aleph when he talks about Chov L'Mazik. He doesn't quote a pasuk of either Isur L'Hazik in Niskei Mamon or in Adam Amazik, but he uses the expression Isur L'Hazik in both places, regarding Niskei Mamon in one place and Isur and Adam Amazik in Perikei Hoschov. What are the cases? So let's go back to that case I already mentioned last time. Niskei Mamon Perikei Halacha. Why did the Rambam only mention it here and not earlier? Why doesn't he define it? I'm not sure why he doesn't give a makor for it. But what is it? What's this phenomenon?
What page is it?
Perikei Niskei Mamon Halacha Aleph. And we're going to do all the Rambams next time to finish it up. I know you're asking what page, and I'm looking too. Page, I got it, 8. Page 8? No. I made a mistake. Now page 8. That's Perikei. I'm looking for Niskei Mamon Heal. Page 9? Page 9, sorry, okay. Page 9, starting from 22. So what is this case? So hold on to 9:22 for a minute. Before that, just look in the Gemara on Chaf Gimel. This is 9:22. There also should be a Gemara somewhere here, probably towards the beginning. Vavakama daf Chaf Gimel. Omen Beis, on the bottom of page 3, number 29. Okay? This is the Gemara. Hanu izi debe tarbu, do hamifsidile l'Rav Yosef. Right? The goats in this place, you know, caused Rav Yosef a loss. Amalei labaya zil emelahul marayu dilitzninu. Amalei, amai ezil, diazilna amali ligdor mar gedera ba'are. Okay, this is all not so. This is a previous Gemara. The question is, when somebody's animals are threatening you, is it your obligation, you know, to prevent them from damaging you, or is it the obligation of the owner to prevent them from damaging you? Okay? What page was that? 3? So now we're turning over to page 4, same Gemara. Inami, the Nafal Guda Balielia. Then the Gemara says, "Machers of Yosef v'Tema Rabbah, the Sulkul Eila u'Denachtinan l'Tata." Okay, those who come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, those who are going from Eretz Yisrael, he's making a proclamation, right? Hani izi the shuka, right? The goats and the shuk, the mafsidi, you know, who cause damage to other people's fields. Very unclear case. Masrina b'marayu trei utlasa zimnin. You're supposed to warn the owners 2 or 3 times. Itzayas tzayas. If they listen, great. Hilo amrinale tiv amchasta v'kabel zuze. If they don't listen, you tell them, you know, what you do is you shech the animals, right, and you give them their money, and end of story. Okay? What does that mean? So Tosa says what it means is, earlier, I think we have Rashi here somewhere too, okay. Dafka b'hanu dekaimi l'shchita, says Tosas. These animals are in the shuk because they're waiting for the market day for shchita. But they're omeid, they're going to be food. V'yafagav she yishalmu ma sheziku, So the problem that Tosa is addressing is, Tosa says, in the end of the day, why do you shech these animals, you know, and why don't you just wait for them to damage you and take them to court, and you'll collect the money? Right? What gives you the right to take this action in his behemoths? So Tosa says, right, Ladina, who wants to go to court? Right, today everybody loves to go to court. Right? Zimnanami Deleka Sahadi. You know, the witnesses will disappear, or there aren't any witnesses. Aval Ez Lechelba Baracha Legizasa. But if this is an animal, right, which is, you know, slated for a different function, Yochaloma Kishiyazik Kishalim, then the Bailim can say, you have no right to shech my animal, it's not Omid Lashchita. You know, if it does damage to your property, then take me to court. I'll pay you. Kedashchem gabi easy to bay tarbu. That's what happened with the easy to bay parbu. Damalai zil atzneinu. Vil amalai zil shachtinu. Right? He said, protect yourself. He didn't say shachta. Oh. I wrote a thing. V'chein yotzei mirashi. Look at the Ravid, etc. The Ravid has a slightly different read, but it's basically the same idea. In other words, this Gemara is a very problematic Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that even if you have not been damaged, you can preemptively strike to defend your property by destroying the threat. Okay? So the way that Bali Tosis and the Ravid deal with this Gemara is they say, well, there's no financial loss, one way or another. Okay? But the Rambam, following Rav Haigon, did not read the Gemara this way. The Gemara does not say that these easy were omed l'shkita. Tosa said it. And the equivalent was said by the Ravid. Right? And it's slightly different to it, but we'll see in a moment. But the Rambam, following Rav Haigon, doesn't limit the case at all. So this idea of a preemptive strike, according to the Rambam, seems to be unqualified. It's here, and only here, where the Rambam came on and used the expression that it's also lahasta. Look at the Rambam now. What was it? Page 9. This is the background. And then when we get to the Chobel things, you'll see also that the Ramdas has a very clear point of view of what these Mishnayos and Gemara are about. There's not Mukhruch at all. It's consistent from his point of view. Behema Shahoisa Roa, Behema was in the field, Upirsha V'nichnasa B'sados U'B'Kramim, and it's like, threatening, other people's fields and vineyards, Avavisha Dayan Lo Hizika, nothing happened. Masrin bebalach gimel pa'amim. You give warning. Imlo shomar behemto v'lo mena milioros. If he doesn't do anything, yesh reshus lebal asadet lishchot osa shchita ksheira. Right, because you want top dollar at least, even though it's still going to be less than the animal's, worth according to the business of the owner, presumably. But at least shchita ksheira, right? Ve'omer lebaleha, bo mikru basar shalachem, mipnei she'asar la'adam lahazik u'lishalim ma'sheiz. That's the key line. Afilu ligroma nezek, asar. That's also a key line. What is ligroma sanezek? If you look at the Rambam, I think I wrote here, if you look at line 32, I wrote, ayin otsar gorim v'shem rav haigon. And Ayin Shilte Gibor, look it up if you get a chance and Sefer Batim. They understand this Rambam, like I do, as a very mechudash halacha. What is Afil Ligrom HaNezek Asur? If you look at the Rambam in a few different places where he used the expression Ligrom HaNezek, there are cases where you're potter from Nezek. Afil Ligrom Asur. I'll check out in a minute. One second. The Raibid's response to this is, right? Yesh reshus abal asad lishkar amar ram dvar malolo nemru begamara. It'll be easy to shuka she'omdos l'shchita. We're talking in the Gemara about animals that are omdos l'shchita, not like the Rambam. The Einlam Roeh, he thinks it's not even a Roeh. Amal mishi yesh lo eder shel behemos ein shoktin kol edro. Elim yazik lo libishalim below shumatsra. Then the Rambam continues in Halacha Beis, lefika chasur chakam legadu behemadaka v'chaya daka meretz Yisrael, v'makom sadasuk kromim. The whole rest of the parak is about Isurim Durabana. Which is why the Mabit, which I read to you last week in Kiryat Sefer, says that the Rambam's view that it's usur to be mazik chavero, even if you're going to pay, is based on knossos and harchakos rabbanan. But if you look carefully, it's not what the Rambam did. Halacha Aleph seems like it's daraisa. Certainly that's how the Rambam understood it. Only from Halacha Beisan do we have this expansion. So what's going on in the Rambam? Why here? The answer is because it's a preemptive strike. The Rambam is trying to explain why, if Nezikin is only tit for tat, quid pro quo, it's only about money, then I have to absorb the blow. Right? I can't take the initiative, you know, and you know, neutralize the threat. Because there's no rights here. It's all about depleting, right, or diminishing my financial value, or his financial value. So until something happens, nothing has happened. That's why I believe the Rambam in this one place was motivated to say, it's an Isur Lahazik. And therefore, you don't have to wait and absorb the blow. He doesn't have a right to attack you and then pay you. Right? He pays you because normally that's all that's involved. In this particular case, you have the right not to be attacked. Moshe Lamadav Adoma, just to give you an example. I like to give this example. Again, it's different, but it's in the same ballpark. And that is the example I've given many, many times. The Rambam's view of Poshea Kemasik. Right, the Rambam says that Shomer Chinam, the Mishnah says that Shomer Chinam, again, we'll finish in 1 minute. And then I'll expand to Chovel Mazik next time, and we'll finish up with Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam in Hilchos Chiras, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, explains that a Shomer Chinam is Chayav B'Pshia. It's the only thing that he's Chayav for, right? Because he guards for free, and therefore he's, the only thing we get him for is Pshia. That's a Din Torah, that's in Psukim, and that's in the Mishnayos, and so on. The Rambam was Mechadesh, that there's a qualitative difference between Shomer Chinam, Schi of Pshia, and Shomer Sachar, Schi of Gneiva Vaveda, or Shoel, Schi of Oz. In that, those are Chiyuvei Shmira. And Poshea, says the Rambam, is Kemazik. So, for example, there's no Dine Shmira in Avadim, Shtoris, and Karkos. But if you're a Shomer Chinam, you're going to be Chayiv even for Avadim, Shtoris, and Karkos, you know, because Poshea is Kemazik. Says the Raivin, Poshe can't really be Kamazik. If it was, then the Dinam of Shmira wouldn't apply, and there would be no Patur of what we call Baal of Imo. And other poskim, the Sivas and others, attack the Ram. They just say, listen, Poshe is not Kamazik because it's Grama. It's a Sheval Tasa. Right? He's not doing anything. He's negligent, but that doesn't qualify in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. You know, or Hilchos Adam HaMazik to be Chayiv. So what's the answer? The basic answer is very clear, but it's such a powerful concept. The Rambam's view is that Poshea is Kemazik, but only in Hilchos Chiras, not in Hilchos Nizkei Mamo, meaning it's only because of the background this person has committed himself to be a responsible party, you know, in safeguarding this object. He's a Shomer Chinam. Okay? So we don't have too many, obligations to impose upon him. But minimally, at least when it comes to making sure that, you know, not that there's no negligence, right, that's the expectation. The reliance upon him, the acceptance of some sort of additional obligation redefines what constitutes an act of nezek or a grama. I think that's the pshat in the Rambam. It's a mazik of hilchos nizkei mamon. Just like harchokas nezakin or hezek re'ia is a hezek only in hilchos shekeinim. If people live together, the expectations that they have of each other, right, kind of raise the bar in terms of what constitutes active, passive, you know, legal, or just moral nezek. That's the idea. And I think we find it again and again and again, right? In Hilchos, because our dinim called Hilchos Tzedakah, there are Rishonim who think that, you know, the Ashir, we'll call him for the moment, is obligated to the Ani almost like a Balchov. How's he's Balchov? He never met the guy before, and he certainly didn't borrow anything from him. He's giving all the time, right? But, you know, whatever you want to call it, the Galgala Chozer, you know, the Kol Yisrael Reidim Zelazeh, the obligation not to be Malimayin makes his being Malimayin like a Nezek, or at least like a Halva that he owes it. He owes it to him. We find this idea in the Halacha. It's not a lack of rigor, it's the opposite. It's a very sophisticated view that context and you know, prior or extra relationships or interconnections or hischaibuyos, right, redefine certain obligations. And I think that is what the Rambam is saying in Perakai Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. What the Rambam is saying is, if there was no Iser Lahazik as Chavercha, right, and it was just all about money, then who's Kumbase and who's Sheval Tasa here? You have no right to launch a preemptive strike against your neighbor, no matter, you know, how unhappy you are, you know, that you're about to be attacked. Because in the end of the day, you know, Sheval Taisa Adiv, you don't, you know, until he does something to you, you know, there's no loss. And the loss is the Mechayev, presumably. Moreover, you're the Kumbase and he's the Sheval Taisa. But if he doesn't have a right to damage you, and you have rights not to be damaged, you have rights that he should be safeguarding, right, you from his mazikim, that just changes the equation. What looks like your kumbase is really just your right of self-defense. That's why the Rambam has it only here in Perakeh. In Hilchos Chovel, it's a little bit different, and this we'll continue with next week. Because there, we already know that the Rambam made a huge legal, organizational, editorial decision, and that was defying the Mishnayos and the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Sounds pretty strong. It's not as strong in reality, but meaning organizationally, classification-wise, the Rambam decided to take Adam HaMazik outside of Nizkei Mamon. And in his organization, you know, after the hefsek of Hilchos Gneiva and Hilchos Gezeila, to put it and to interface it with Hilchos Chovel HaMazik. By doing that, he already made a statement that Adam HaMazik, unlike Nizkei Mamon, right, relative to Nizkei Mamon, is not just about dollars and cents. Otherwise, why not leave it in this Kemoma where it is in the Mishnah and the Gemara? Right? It's apparently even further away than Geneva and Gezela because it's a physical act of destruction. Now, it's still true that he doesn't quote an Iser, but three times in Perakei of Hilchos Chovel HaMazik, the Rambam implies that there's an Aveira for Adam HaMazik. So I want to pick up with those three. I want to show you what he did to the Mishnah, how he expanded it. I want to speak about Hilchos Tshuva briefly in this connection. And the other nafkamina, I really want to finish this off next week, and then we'll start with the Gemara on base of Rambam.